everyone. Pastor Lyle Phillips here from Legacy Nashville Church. We are so honored that you would join us today for the message on our podcast. We pray that these sermons would bless, encourage, and equip you for all that God has called you to do. Let's get into it. So turn in your Bible today to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 56 is what we're going to read today. I know it's kind of a lot of scripture, but most of it is actually not just a scripture, it's a song. It's a song from the mother of Jesus, Mary, who at the time was an unwed pregnant teenager, who wrote a worship song that we still sing today called the Magnificat, which is a Latin word, and where we get our the title of our sermon series, Magnificent. So Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 56. Once you found it, if you don't mind, just stand to your feet for the reading of the word. It's one of our traditions as well. And we'll read it together. I'll stop you a couple of times to add some context, but we'll read it together. Are you ready? Luke 1, verse 39 through 56. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, if you know the context of what's happening, it would be of no surprise that Mary has gone with great haste to see her cousin Elizabeth out in the hill country in Judah, because Mary has just had a supernatural encounter. She has had a visitation from an archangel that has spoken to her and told her that she is now with child. That the Holy Spirit has moved upon her. She is now pregnant, and she has the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord, in her womb. Now, you know why she went with such haste. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You have some crazy encounter from the Lord, right? You get a prophetic word and you're like, I gotta go tell somebody, because this is nuts, man. This is crazy. What? Nobody's gonna believe this. Let me call my BFF. So that's kind of what's happening here. You got it? So verse 41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. So many scholars interpret this way, is that John the Baptist, who is in Elizabeth's womb, is filled with the Holy Spirit first. And that's why the baby leaps in the womb. It's not that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and then John is filled with the Holy Spirit, but the other way around is how most scholars interpret this, that the very presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in the same room, John the Baptist not only encounters the presence of the Lord, but he is filled by the Holy Spirit. And then his mom is filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I know there's a lot of debate about when life begins. There's a lot of debate about what kids can understand, but kids don't have to be able to mentally comprehend what is going on to know that the presence of God is in the room. Kids are able to have encounters. Kids are able to experience the power and the presence of God before they ever learn to talk. And so that's what's happening in this moment. If you're a mom in here and you've been pregnant, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you know that, like, even in the womb, there are moments when your baby responds to outside like stimuli. Right? The baby kicks, it moves, like, oh, they're responding. Dad's in the room. They hear dad talking. You know what I'm talking about? Am I drawing this out too much? That's what's happening. But it's not just that the child is responding to stimuli outside of the womb, but the child is responding to the presence of God. The child is responding to the presence of Jesus. the Lord. Listen, this is all the reason you need to get your babies in church. Well, they don't know what's happening. Their spirit knows something, though. They may not be able to talk back to you yet. They may not be able to tell you what they learned in Sunday school, but I can tell you this, they were baptized. They can be baptized in the Spirit, touched in the Spirit. Y'all good? And she exclaimed with a loud cry. See, this is what you do when you get filled with the Spirit. Hey, let's go. She's gonna start prophesying. What does she say there? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She's saying, you are blessed because you have been handpicked by God. You are blessed because you're chosen. You are blessed because God has shown favor to you. You are blessed because you're gonna deliver a baby. You are blessed because you're gonna deliver the Messiah. That's amazing. Everybody say blessed. Blessed, she says it twice, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And why is this granted to me? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. You see, Mary went with haste to the hill country. She's not even showing yet. Mary may have been thinking, I can't wait to get to Elizabeth because I'm gonna tell her everything that the angel told me. I've had an encounter with God and I'm gonna tell my best friend. You ever seen your best friend after you've had an encounter with God and before you get the opportunity to even tell them what happened, their very presence, you just fall apart. Oh. Mary's not even showing. See, Paul says later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, that nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So you see, Elizabeth ain't looking at Mary's belly saying, oh, she's pregnant. No, the Lord steps into that room. She's baptized in the Spirit. She begins to prophesy and exclaim with a loud voice, my Lord. Doesn't this remind you of what happened with Peter whenever Jesus looked at him and said, who do you say that I am? And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it's only by my Father in heaven. You see, it wasn't flesh and blood. He said, oh, the presence of my Lord. My Lord? Hold on, wait, what do you mean? Messiah? Isn't that amazing? Verse 44, I'll move quicker. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, this baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then what does she say a third time? And? Yes. I thought y'all kept reading. I thought y'all said, sheesh. I was like, wow, okay. But you said she, okay. I was like, oh, it's a collective sheesh. That was awesome. That's when you know you're getting some heavy revy from the word, right? There was everybody, sheesh. I do that sometimes when I'm like getting ready to preach, like I'm reading and I'm like, oh, they're gonna love that part right there. My God, that's good, Lord, that's good. I'm telling God how good his word is. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, I want you to get this scripture, all right? And then we're gonna read the Magnificat very quickly. But I want you to get this scripture because this is where I'm gonna focus today. Verse 45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She's saying, you're blessed if you believe the word of the Lord shall come to pass in your life, because that blessing looks like something, and it's this, fulfillment. Fulfillment. I don't know about you, but I want every word that's been spoken over my life to be fulfilled in the name of the Lord. I want every prophetic promise that has been declared and decreed over my life to be fulfilled in the name of the Lord. I want every word I've heard in the secret place, in the place of prayer, things I've not even shared with other people because I know they'll look at me like I'm crazy if I do. I want every word to be fulfilled. What about you? Because I know that in the fulfillment of my prophetic promises from God, my soul will also be fulfilled. I'll be fulfilled. And then Mary, she hears her cousin Elizabeth prophesy, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. And then Mary writes a song. Teenage girl. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me. She said, you're right, Elizabeth. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham and to his offspring forever. What an amazing worship song that is, huh? My soul magnifies the Lord. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. As I said, I really want to focus on verse 45 for the rest of our time. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. The title of the message this afternoon is, He Said What He Said. How's that? He said what he said. Before you're seated, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your precious son, Jesus. Greatest expression of love that humanity will ever know. It's the giving of your one and only begotten son. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the gift. Greatest Christmas present that we could ever receive was the birth of your son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming at the fullness of time. You came at the right time, Lord. We haven't missed out on anything. We're right where we're supposed to be. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone said, thank you, Jesus. And amen and amen. Look at your neighbor. Be seated. Say, he said what he said. Come on, come on, come on, come on. He said what he said. I am assuming I'm in familiar company today, and there's some people in the room, aside from myself, that you have heard from God before. Anybody in here, you'd say, yeah, that's me. I've heard from God before. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it amazing? When God speaks to you, you're like David. You're like, who is man that thou art mindful of me? Like when God speaks to you, isn't that awesome? You know what's even more awesome? Like when God speaks to you and then you go and see a friend that's prophetic and your friend just confirms everything that God says, and you're like, yes, amen, hallelujah, let's go. Like you didn't even get a chance to tell them yet, and they're like, I had a dream. I love prophetic friends like that. Those people are my favorite. Sometimes I just call them and just test them, you know? And they're like, how you doing? I'm like, you tell me. A friend of mine is coming in January who's like that. His name is Jeremiah Johnson. And I want you guys to get ready because he's a prophet. He's amazing. He's a friend. And he's gonna be here at our anointing service, which is the last Sunday of the month every year in January. And he's like that. Prophetic people sometimes are scary though, right? Like you don't even want to look them in the eye if you have not been doing what you know you're supposed to do. He's also like that, but it's going to be fun. It's awesome when you hear from God, isn't it? It's awesome whenever somebody else hears from God on your behalf and confirms what God has said to you, isn't it? It's awesome whenever God says something to you, like he says something crazy to you. He says something wild to you and you're like, amen. I say yes and amen, because that's how you respond to a word from God. I say yes and amen. I'm gonna put all my trust in that word, God. And then later, the word gets fulfilled. And God does the very thing God told you that he would do. Now, it's awesome to hear from God. It's awesome to hear from God through other people. But you know what's even more awesome? I'm talking like this is the most awesome, is whenever God does exactly what God said he would do. Yes. Who's had that experience before? Oh, if you ain't had that experience before, let me tell you, I'm so jealous for you to have that experience, because the Bible says that that experience is something that God calls blessed. Yeah. Blessed. Oh, it's impossible to complain that you are not blessed whenever God has promised you something and then brought it to pass. I mean, you come to church different that day. You step into the house of the Lord different that day. Hey, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like you, it's just different that day. Like worship hits different. Like God's word has come to pass. Come on, you in the front, you in the altar, you cutting up, you singing a little bit louder. Come on, preacher, let's go. Why is that? Because you have learned something about God, just like Mary did whenever she proclaimed this glorious worship song. She had learned something about God. And if anything, that is this, that God is good, that God is great, and God is greatly to be praised. Whenever you receive a word from God and it comes to pass in your life, that's the experience that you have, and that is the experience that the Bible not only calls blessed, but also this, fulfilled. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live a fulfilled life. Anybody else in here? I want to live a fulfilled life. And even though you might not say amen right now, I know you know what I'm talking about, because so many people today live a life of a lack of fulfillment. Like we come into church, and we're like, yeah, it's all good, Pastor. Blessed and highly favored. It's amazing. Praise God. I'm doing wonderful. But then you drive home in tears because you heard somebody else share a testimony of how God fulfilled a word in their life. And you're wondering, God, when is my word gonna come to pass? And that's when you get in touch with that distance between what God has said, what you're willing to believe, and the fulfillment that your soul is longing to experience. Because God has created us all to have the experience of fulfillment as a result of him speaking to us, his creation, about his promises for us, and then those promises coming to pass, because God is not a man that he should lie. There is no word, church, that returns to him void. And he wants you to know that so that you can be just like Mary and stand in his house and stand in his presence and proclaim, my soul magnifies the Lord. How dare you gonna magnify the Lord, Mary? Don't you know you're embroiled in controversy? You pregnant and not even married. My soul magnifies the Lord. How can you be happy in an hour like this? You going through hell in high water. Because the word of the Lord has come to pass in my life. I'm fulfilled because what God has said to me, I'm watching in real time. I am fulfilled. I know people are doubting me. I know people are gossiping about me. I know people said it would never be done. And yet here I stand giving God praise. My soul magnifies the Lord. How? Because I'm fulfilled. I'm fulfilled here in my soul. I'm fulfilled internally. I'm not talking about externally. I'm not talking about temporary fulfillment that you get as a result of buying a new car. Come on, getting a new car is glorious, isn't it? Okay. Getting a new car, man, is glorious, isn't it? I mean, it's awesome. Like you get in, you're like, it smells amazing in here. It's like, it's gotta be what my house in heaven's gonna smell like. I mean, it's just, you can't replicate it. It's not the same. You can buy all the Febreze you want. You ain't never gonna get it back. That new car, wow, it's amazing. But then like 90 days later, you're like, I'm gonna need me a new car in like 6 months. Am I telling the truth? You get a pair of new shoes, man, these are the best shoes I ever had. 2 weeks later, I got a little mud on them. I'm gonna need some new shoes. Oh, that's just me? Never mind. If I made some new friends, I'd really be fulfilled. 6 months later, I don't even like those friends. How many of you are complaining about what you used to pray about? Uh-oh. Because most people equate fulfillment with external achievement. So they say, this is how I'm gonna be fulfilled. I'm gonna be fulfilled whenever I get recognized. Whenever people finally recognize all of the hard work that I've invested into this company and the boss puts the spotlight on me at staff meeting in front of my peers, I'm finally gonna be fulfilled because somebody recognizes me for my hard work. When I have achievement, I'll be fulfilled. But what happens after that achievement, 30 days later, you are no longer fulfilled. Am I lying? Well, nope, I'm gonna be fulfilled when I make this amount of money. When I get to this tax bracket, yo, you're gonna see me shining, son. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm gonna be fulfilled. I ain't gonna have no problems. You're like, where are you going with this? No, you're not. I can promise you that because there's been research done on it. And every time people get to a new tax bracket, they say, that's when I'll make it. And it's only a matter of time before they adjust the tax bracket. And they say, actually, I thought this would bring me fulfillment, but now that I'm here, I realize I actually need more, and I need more, and I need more, and I need more. And that right there is the hamster wheel that culture continually runs on to lie to you about the thing that you must have in order to be fulfilled. And they will market that to you like crazy, especially around Christmas time. If you just had this little gadget, I'm telling you right now, you'd shave 3 hours off of your workday, man, you'd be fulfilled. You'd have more time with your kids. And what happens? The temporary fulfillment does not last because it is not a fulfillment that takes place in the soul. More money, achievement. How about this one? Influence. When I get to this level of influence, then I will be successful. Oh, it's quiet. Oh. I don't know if you should say amen or ouch right now. Like, maybe I'll just talk to myself. But I remember, I don't know, maybe it was like 2015. I remember like wrestling with this so much because I was watching my friends be successful in ministry, and I felt like so many of us. And I was like, I feel like God's forgotten about me. And I looked at my wife and I said, if I die and I'm not like a famous preacher, I'm gonna die a failure. And she was like, you need healing. This is a true story. I ain't making this up. Because I was like, I'm looking for fulfillment. And I don't care about the money. It's all good. We can do this here forever. I'm all good without the money. But I want to know that I have achieved a certain level of status because I need something in my soul and I'm searching for it. And here's what I believe to be true. What's going to satisfy is that number on Instagram. Yeah, and at the time, I think I had like 6,000 followers. And that was when Instagram was giving you a K behind your follower count when you hit 10. And I was like, I'm a nobody. I don't even have a K on my follower count. Now, I was telling my wife that. And you know what happened? The day that that thing switched over from 9,999, boy, I was so stoked. I'm like, I got a K. What's up? And I was so pumped, and like 3 days later, I was like, that's not even a big deal. And then like 30 people unfollowed me, and I was back to like 990. And I was like, that was so stupid. Why did I think that was gonna bring me any lasting fulfillment? It brought me nothing. What was the enemy doing? What a ploy, what a play. Like he was having me looking for influence rather than looking for Emmanuel. What was I doing? I took my eye off of the ball. I was thinking fulfillment was in this, but I know fulfillment is in him. Well, if I just knew my purpose, Pastor. See, I know what you're talking about today, but if I just knew my purpose, if I just knew what God's goal for my life was, then I would be fulfilled. A lot of people are not fulfilled today because they're like, I don't know what my purpose is. You know, so they look for it in self-help and, you know, fiction books, and if I can just get all the right principles and I learn all the right principles to be successful, then I will be fulfilled. But you know your fulfillment is not going to be found in principles. Your fulfillment is going to be found in a person whose name is Jesus. And that experience of fulfillment comes from you hearing from God, believing what God has said. Amen. I'm going to risk my life on a word from God. I'm going to drop anchor right here. He said what he said. And then you step into the fulfillment of witnessing real time the very thing that God promised you back there happened right here. That is when that soul's gonna be lit up like Mary when she sang out the Magnificat. Oh, my soul magnifies the Lord. Wow, I thought fulfillment was gonna come from something else. Nope. My fulfillment has come from the manifestation of God's promise in my life. He said what he said, and I'm fulfilled. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's where fulfillment comes from. This is like, if you don't get anything else out of this message, just get this. Whatever you are holding up in front of you that you think is gonna bring fulfillment, if it's anything other than obedience to Jesus and his word over your life, I'm just gonna go ahead and save you some time writing out your resolutions. Achieving goals are great. Being successful is great. But you will not find lasting fulfillment for your soul in any other place other than listening to what God has to say to you, putting saving faith in God's word for your life, and waiting with him for him to fulfill every last promise that he has released over your life. Because when you see that, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, what God said has happened. Ain't no fulfillment like that fulfillment. That is biblical fulfillment. That is what the Bible calls blessed. I'm blessed. Why? I got a promotion. Well, that's awesome, but I want to be able to say, I'm blessed because the thing God told me was going to happen, happened. He said what he said. When we don't have this experience, we doubt God's goodness. When we don't have this experience, we doubt whether or not his character, his nature is actually as trustworthy as the Bible tells us. And that's why the Magnificat is so important, because it's actually God's resume in song form. And this is why we as a church have to sing more about God than we do about us. Because whenever we sing, we're reciting God's own resume. This is who God is. My soul magnifies the Lord. Why is that, Mary? Because this is who God is. I actually have 15 things that God says he is through the word, through the song of Mary. Well, you guys show that 15 things. God is Savior. This is what you learn about God when you're fulfilled, when he brings about his promises. God looks and sees me of all people. Can you believe it? A country kid from Sacramento, Kentucky. That's me, by the way. Grew up in a bean field. You look upon me, God, you see me. Nobody saw me. What? Are you serious? Me? I'm from a town of 606. What? Oh, that's humble estate right there. That's humble estate right there. You found me chopping tobacco. God is mighty. God does great things for us. Amen. Let's keep going. God's name is holy. God is merciful forever too. Forever too. Not just a season of mercy. He's merciful forever. God is strong. God scatters the proud. God brings down the mighty. God exalts the humble. God fills the hungry. God sends away the self-reliant. God helps his people. God remembers his mercy, and God speaks to his people forever. When you have experienced the fulfillment of God bringing to pass promises he has spoken out over your life, you will be fulfilled at a level where you know that you know that you know that you know. Look at God's resume. That's how good God is. And I want that experience for you. Do you want that experience? In that place where you're like, no, I don't need to doubt God. Look at the resume, man. You know how many times he's spoken to me? You know how many times I've stepped out in risk on his word? Do you know how many times it looked like his word would never come to pass in my life? Do you know how many times that God has been faithful to bring me through the messy middle into the promised land of completion, of perfection? Don't you know how God's been faithful to me? No, you can't talk me out of his goodness. You can't talk me out of his faithfulness. I know he's trustworthy to the end. That's who my God is. You know why? Because he said what he said. Yeah, I'll give you that grit right there. I mean, you see God fulfill some promises in your life, all of a sudden you get a I told you so anointing. People are like, ain't no way that's gonna happen. You watch. He said what he said. Y'all ain't ready for me on the Sunday before Christmas. I can tell you right now. Like looking in the mirror. You say, don't doubt it, man. Don't doubt it. He said what he said. Let's recollect on all the moments in the past whenever God did what he said he was going to do. God's batting 1,000 in your life. He said what he said. You really get in touch with how awesome God is. Let me tell you. And you know what's crazy is like a lot of times whenever God speaks, he'll speak about things you're not even expecting to hear from him about. That's why it's challenging whenever God talks to you, because you'll be asking him about things that are important to you, and then he'll start talking to you about things that are important to him. Yeah. You're like, hold on. Wait a minute, God. He's like, oh, sorry, I thought you were praying. I didn't realize this was a therapy session. No, I'm all for therapy. But we're not going to experience the fulfillment that God has for us if we only talk to God about the things that we want and never let God talk to us about the things that he wants. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with talking. It starts with listening. So actually, I did this little graph. Luke made it better for me. I designed it on my iPhone and I drew it up. But this is the journey of fulfillment. Check this out. Over here is fulfillment, and over here is... Y'all gonna help me preach this? Over here is. See, everybody wants this. Uh-oh. We want this, right? I want fulfillment. I want it. Woo! But here's where it starts. Because what you think you want, you don't really want until it's tempered in prayer in the presence of God. Because what brings the most fulfillment are the things that God speaks out over our lives, not just the things that we think we should get in our lives. So it starts with listening. It starts with listening. We have to be a listening people. I think one of the reasons why the modern church so often misses out on this is because we won't do this. We don't listen to God. We listen to worship songs. Well, I've been praying. You've been talking. But you ain't been listening, bro. Because prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is relational. Prayer is a dialogue where you talk to God and God talks to you. I need a good amen right here. Prayer is more than just talking. You don't really pray unless you're also Because God is relational and he wants to speak to you about his promises. He wants to speak to you about his ways. He wants to speak to you about his will. He wants to speak to you about his path, his design for your life, because he wants to bring you into a place of fulfillment, but he knows you're not gonna get there without his help. And a lot of Christians today, they don't experience fulfillment because they don't listen. And I get why we don't listen to God. I do. I truly do. I get why we don't listen to God. A lot of people truly are afraid of listening to God. They're scared to hear God for themselves. It's very similar, just like in the Old Testament, when the people of God that were delivered by God, that were saved by God, that were brought out of Egypt, sent in slavery by God, would look at a guy, their pastor, Moses, and say, "We believe that you hear from God. We don't want to listen to God for ourselves because we are too scared of what he might ask us to do. He might ask us to fast. He might ask us to repent. He might ask us to make a transition in our life. He might ask us to walk through a Red Sea. He might ask us to walk away from all of the delicacies that we enjoyed in a previous season of our life and feast on manna. He may ask us to go without the things that we put our trust in. He may ask us to break all of our idols. He may ask us to do something different than our preferences. Moses, you just go talk to God. And then you come back down from the mountain. And then on Sunday, you give us a sermon about what God has said to you all week. And we will listen." But you see, they don't. And that's what I've learned about being a pastor. And that's okay, because ultimately it's not me that I want you to listen to. It's God that I want you to listen to. But what I want to encourage you with this morning, this afternoon, is that I don't want you to outsource your responsibility to talk to God for yourself. I don't want you to outsource your opportunity for intimacy with God for yourself to your pastor and then say, "Pastor, you come down off of the mountain and on Sunday I'll go to church maybe 3 or 4 times every 6 weeks and then you tell me what God has said and I will listen." But see, one of the reasons why we don't hear from God that much is because that setup right there is what modern Christianity has determined to call hearing from God, is hearing from their pastor on Sunday when he opens up the Bible and he preaches. But if that's the only way that you'll hear from God, it'll make it very easy for you to be disobedient. Because you're not hearing directly from God, you're hearing from a human being. And a human being is flawed just like you are. I'm flawed and I sin just like you do. But if the only way you'll hear from God is based upon the messages that I preach, you can just do Bible buffet. Take the parts you like and leave out the parts that you don't. You know, I mean, come on, it's all preferential after, you know. As a matter of fact, it's okay, I don't really have to listen to you, bro. You're just a dude. And that's true, you don't. But at some point we have to determine that I have to hear from God. And in any way that God wants to speak to me, I want to listen. So I'm in the Word on a day-to-day basis. I'm before his face in the place of prayer. I'm not just talking, telling him about all the stuff that I want, but I am sitting, I am open-handed, open-hearted. I am listening to what God would have to say over my life because I know there's no fulfillment unless I listen. Unless I listen to God, I will have no fulfillment in 2025. Unless I listen to God, I'm gonna have no fulfillment in my parenting. Unless I listen to God, I'm gonna have no fulfillment in my marriage. Unless I listen to God, I'm gonna have no fulfillment in my assignment. You've got to be able to say, "I'm listening, God. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Whatever you want to say to me, I trust you because I know you'll lead me in the direction that I need to go so that I will be fulfilled." Now, we have a part to play in this. It's not really a big part, but it is a part. And here's the middle portion. You got to believe. Blessed are you among women. See, that blessing, that first blessing, that first dimension of blessing is enough for people. Oh, I got attention from people. Blessed am I among other people. That's good enough. If I can just get attention from people, I am blessed. Hallelujah. That's the first dimension of blessing. But then you can go a little bit deeper. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed not only are you, blessed are those that are connected to you. Blessed are what you produce. Blessed, are you hearing me? There's a second dimension of blessing. But you see, there's this third one that's like, blessed are you among women. Blessed are you because you're carrying the Lord, the fruit of your womb, what you produce, you're blessed. But you know what? Here's where the real blessing is. Blessed are you that, y'all say that middle word, believed. That you would see a fulfillment of the thing that God spoke to you about. That right there is the third dimension of blessing. Yeah, doing okay? That right there, she's saying, blessed, blessed if you will believe the things that God has said and that he'll bring you to a place of fulfillment. You have to wrestle for your words from God. Now, here's a great thing about faith. Faith is a gift. You ain't even got to conjure it up. You ain't even got to motivate yourself to believe. God will give you the grace to believe, but you do have to wrestle for your word. And this is where most people get stuck. They hear from God and then they say things like this, I've got a word from God. Amazing, what's happening? Nothing. I've got a word from God, but I'm not fulfilled. I've got prophetic words that have been spoken over my life, but I'm not fulfilled. I know God has spoken to me. I know God has loved me. Somebody called me out when I was a kid at a youth conference and they prophesied my future. They declared these things would happen in my life. None of that has happened. I'm not fulfilled. Well, you can walk around and say, I've got a word from God all day long. But if you don't believe it, it's not going to come to pass. And here's the thing. You have been given enough faith for the fulfillment of everything you've heard. But you've got a job to do. Because you can receive faith. Every word from God shows up wearing a backpack full of grace for you to live it out, for you to walk it out. Every time God gives a word, he gives the grace to accomplish the word. Every time God gives the word, he gives a gift of faith. He's saying, I'm gonna give you some faith. You're not gonna walk by sight, you're gonna walk by it's not going to make sense to you. You're going to need that peace that surpasses all understanding because you're not going to be able to figure it out with your intellect, but you do have a gift of faith if you'll lay hold of it in the place of prayer and continue to listen to me so I can take you to a place of fulfillment. I'm going to give you that faith, but you're going to have to wrestle for the word, man. You're going to have to wrestle for that word. You're going to have to apply some active faith. Faith without works is, you're going to have to wrestle for that word. You remember Zechariah? Zechariah was actually Elizabeth's husband is John the Baptist's dad. And some of the greatest people in the Bible, they received some of the most amazing words from God. They were good words, but they came with great challenges. And whenever the angel of the Lord came to Zechariah and said, this is what's about to happen, Zechariah was like, come on, bro. It's like, I'm old, man. What was he saying? I don't really believe. We're crying out for encounters, church. We're crying out for God to speak to us. We're crying out for promises. We're crying out for prophetic words. But what happens when God speaks to you? I'm old. Let's make it real. These are excuses in the Bible that people give to God when they receive words. I'm old, right? That's what Zechariah did. There's no way. It's not possible. What about this? I see this all the time. Sarah, remember Sarah in the Old Testament? The angel shows up and tells, by this time next year, you're gonna have some. Y'all help me. By this time next year, you're gonna have some. And she heard it. But when it got here, what'd she do? She laughed. It's hilarious, bro. Ain't no way it's gonna happen. I'm old, man. Abe is old. See, the battle is for that. The devil can't stop you from, the devil can't stop God from talking to you. But he'll do everything he can to try to distract you from listening. And even if you do hear it, he'll do everything he can to battle you within the realm of your belief. Remember Moses? He talked to Moses and he was like, "You're gonna set my people free." And Moses was like, "Ain't no way, God, it ain't gonna be me, man. Like, I don't even talk good." And God's like, "Excuse me?" So you think your limitations, your physical limitations, are gonna inhibit my ability to bring fulfillment of my promises in your life? Maybe you need to remind yourself of my resume. Maybe you need to go back and read Mary's Magnificat, because I think you've forgotten who I am. You think I'm consulting with your limitations before I deliver unto you a prophetic promise? I'm God. Nothing shall be impossible with me. You even think about Thomas. You know, Thomas, everybody's like, "The Lord is shown up." Thomas said, "Pfft." I just think of that Ed Bassmaster. "Pfft." Look at it. Because a lot of people, they respond to words from God like that. Thomas is like, "I ain't gonna believe. I ain't gonna believe till I see his hands. I ain't gonna believe until I hold his hands. I ain't gonna believe till I put my hand in his side, and then maybe I'll believe." There's a battle for your belief, church. There's a battle for your belief. There's a battle for your belief. The first thing you gotta do if you want fulfillment in 2025 is you're gonna have to listen. There's a difference in hearing and listening, ain't it? I remember my dad used to tell me as a kid, "Oh, you're hearing me, but you ain't listening." If you're gonna have fulfillment from the Lord, you're gonna have to first do what? Listen. You have to listen. But after that, you're gonna have to believe. Now, we're studying Mary, and I'm gonna finish with this. Whenever the angel showed up to Mary and spoke to Mary, Mary did something that is really a biblical design for all of us. Whenever we hear a word from God about the fulfillment that's on its way. Mary spoke back to the angel and she said this, "Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me according to your word." If you have a word from God and you're waiting right now, you're trying to figure out how to manage the middle, there's an active battle happening in your life for your belief. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the word of God, the very thing God's spoken to you about, and I want you to do two things. This is what Mary did. Number one, I want you to surrender to it. This is what belief looks like. First, you surrender to it. You say, "Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it happen, God. You're not gonna meet any resistance here, God. Let it be unto me according to your word." See, we've become so accustomed to calling commands, invitations. "God invited me to do this." No, God told you. It's not an RSVP for a wedding. It's like, he said, do it. The first thing you've got to do if you're battling for belief right now is you've got to surrender to the word. Don't give God excuses. Give God obedience. Say, "I surrender. I say yes and amen. I yield to it, God." And here's the second thing that you've got to do if you're in the middle. Number one, you got to surrender. But number two, you got to become a servant of the word. Surrender and serve. Surrender and serve. Say it with me. Surrender and serve. When you get a word from God, here's how you get fulfillment. You surrender to the word. Yes and amen. I ain't gonna fight you, God. I ain't gonna fight you, God. You got it. You found a real one here, God. If you wanna work through me, you can work through me. Yes and amen. That sounds a little hard. That sounds challenging. I'm probably gonna get made fun of for that. I'm probably gonna have to step out in risk for that one, God. But I know you've got fulfillment waiting for me on the other side, so I surrender. But now I'm also living in service to the word. I'm also living in service to the word. I'm living in service to the word. God is not your peer. He is your Lord. I'm now living in, speak, Lord. Your loyal subject is listening. I bow my knee because you're my Lord. I'm your loyal subject. You give me a word. And I say, absolutely, let's go. You remember whenever the guy spoke with Jesus in Gospel of Matthew, he said, I know what it's like to be a man under authority. Don't worry. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. And I know what it's like to be a man under authority. For some reason, we have thought that modern Christianity is like, well, God's no longer my authority. I'm my authority. He just gives me good principles to move me closer to fulfillment, but it ain't gonna be principles. It's gonna be obedience to the person that is Jesus, and I submit, I surrender. Here I am, Lord. Do what you wanna do through me. That's the word you have over my life. I'm gonna serve that word until it comes to pass. I'm gonna actively serve that word. I'm gonna step out and do what you've told me to do because I know you have fulfillment for me in my life. Say thank you, Jesus, for the plan that you have for each and every one of us. Just want to pray as we're closing. I just have to think that there's somebody in the room, you're battling with this lack of fulfillment thing. Christian serving God, but just no satisfaction in the soul. I see a picture that the Lord is just opening a door in the spirit for you. That you've slumped over, you've sat down in front of the door. You said, I've knocked, I've asked, I've done all the things that you told me to do, God, but I'm giving up. I've just resigned myself. I will not have fulfillment. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but if that's you and you've determined that you will not see the thing that God has promised you come to pass, I'm talking to you. I see this picture of the Lord just opening this door, and maybe you think you'd receive his reprimand, but I see him just helping you up to your feet and saying, come on, let's move forward. Come on, let's move forward. You've surrendered. Keep serving. Stay surrendered and keep serving. Fulfillment's on its way. He said what he said. He said what he said. Fulfillment's on its way. For the joy set before him suffered the shame. Did not despise the cross. There's joy set before you, child of God. There is joy set before you. Come on, surrender to the word and serve the word. He said what he said. There's no word gonna return to him void. Fulfillment is on its way. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. You're so great, God. Thank you for speaking to us. And I also want to pray over anybody in the room that you would say, I don't have a word from God. I want to encourage you to listen. You may not know how to listen to God, but it's just like listening to a friend. Whenever God spoke to Moses, it said that he spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. That's how God wants to speak to you. Listen, and you will receive a word. God is talking. He said what he said. Let's stand to our feet.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Legacy Nashville podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, you can find us online at legacynashville.org or check us out on social media at Legacy Nashville. Thanks again for joining. God bless.